Today on Real Radio.
Now I see why I should make my marriage work. Because that means my husband or my wife is that valuable to God. Who am I to devalue that human being? Are you with me?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of 1 Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians called God, Marriage, and Divorce. The Apostle Paul addresses the various marriage situations among believers. Now, some are married to other believers, some get divorced and then become believers. Lots of different situations, we all know that. But we are shown by the Apostle Paul how to handle these situations when we have the proper Judeo-Christian worldview. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series called God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home.
God has ordained marriage and he's anointed the husband to build up the wife. Every man in this room knows that when things come out of our mouth, we either exalt our wife or we tear down our wife. This is vitally important. Think about the spiritual anointing, the power, the reality of what I'm talking about. The husband has that power. When used rightly, that wife will excel and exceed and go beyond. You know what she'll become? You can read all about her in Proverbs chapter 31. Amen. Stuff comes out of her life. She's amazing. Why? Because she's got a man who covers her. She's got a man that's covering her in prayer. He prays for her. He's washing her with the word. She's got a man over her life, a husband who cares. And today you might be saying, my home's so messed up, it can never get better. You are denying, mister, the power of the Holy Spirit who can change things around, and he'll do it with one person, and that's you. God has anointed the man. And listen, I've had women tell me this. If my husband would just lead, I'll follow. But he's not leading. So I've got to lead these kids. I've got to pray with them. I've got to be the spiritual man of my home because he won't. Guys, listen, be encouraged. Stand up and lift up Jesus in your home. You know what? I mean this. This is coming right off the top of my head. This is scary. If we need to get together on a Sunday night or whatever and talk about how to do that, then let's do it. Let's carve out a Sunday night. We'll all meet together. We'll have pizza and Pepsi and talk about how does a man spiritually lead his family. We can do that. Amen. This is very important. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:28, listen to this. Ephesians 5:28, so husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. When I first read that, I thought that was kind of weird. But watch this. For no one ever hated his own flesh. You don't wake up, mister, in the morning and slap yourself silly. You don't look in the mirror and say, man, what's that green stuff hanging off my teeth? I think I'll leave it there. Oh, no, no. You wash yourself. You brush your teeth. You put on shoes. You put on a little cologne. Why? Because you love yourself. What am I going to eat? Why do we say that? Because we love ourselves. You say, pastor, I don't love myself. Oh, yes, you do. You do. The Bible says we already have too much love for ourselves. Okay, so listen. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Listen to what he says. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you be particular so to love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You say, yeah, pastor, I wish my wife respected me. Guys, listen. Guys, you want her to respect you? Yes. Love her like Jesus loved the church, and I guarantee you, Amen. Listen, she will respect you. And listen, your friends will say, what's with you? my wife told your wife that yours like this. Stop it. You're making me look bad. You tell your friend, hey, follow me as I follow Jesus. Amen. Think about it. Choose to do it. Does your marriage stink? Men, rise up. Save your marriage. Well, I don't like her anymore. That's not an option. No option. Not an out. God will judge you breaking up a marriage like that. Well, no option. No out. Hey, I'll be blunt. Even if there is adultery in the past, you forgive and you make up and you let it go to the cross and keep it at the cross. This is a big deal. Secondly, why marriage isn't for everyone? What's of the present goes before the throne. The past goes to the cross. The now goes before the throne. What are we talking about? Verse 20 to 22. Let each one remain, circle the word remain, abide, stay in. The same calling in which he was called. Were you single when you became a Christian and you're still single? Paul is saying you might want to pray about staying single. Were you married when you became a Christian? You might want to pray about, according to the Bible, hello, staying married. Were you called while a slave? Don't be concerned about it. Don't worry about it. But if you can gain your freedom, then go for it. For he who is called of the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. What is he saying? Whatever situation you're in right now, watch this. Take it to the throne. Are you listening, everyone? Watch this. Are you, now that you're a Christian, okay, you're a Christian now, you're single, you became a Christian, and it may very well be that God is speaking to you, and you're not so interested in guys anymore. You're not so interested in girls anymore. You're just consumed with the things of God. You just don't, you find maybe the concept of having a husband or a wife a big distraction. So listen, it may be for you that you're saying, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm open, but I don't have any drive to be married now that I'm a Christian. Paul says, that's fine. Fantastic. No need to push it. If you are single and you become a Christian and now you have a desire to be married, I think I would like to have a wife or a husband and have a family and kids and now that's appealing to you. Guess what? That's great. Pray. And conduct both yourselves, whatever direction you go, conduct yourself wisely. I talked to someone last week who got ripped off by someone in their life. Someone came into their life and ripped them off within a week. I said, are you a Christian? Oh, I've been a Christian all my life. Okay. How'd this happen? Oh, I went to a party. Well, where's the party? It was in West Hollywood. Okay, do you not know by now you don't even buy gasoline in West Hollywood? What are you doing there? Well, my friend was having a party. And, you know, this happened, this thing happened, and then this happened, and that happened. And now this has happened. And I said, what do you want me to say to that? I said, you see this? You read this. I cannot add anything to your story. If you're single, listen, if you're single, be single unto the Lord. Okay? Don't play house. Don't try marriage out with someone to see if it's going to work. You're dealing with a spiritual power that once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you're not putting it back in. Try as you may. Control your passions. Control your desires. That's why God invented cold showers and prayer. I'm going to sound old right now, but parents, you shouldn't let your kids dress up like Britney Spears or Lady Gaga. Oh, but my daughter wants, she's 9 years old, she wants to be Lady Gaga for Halloween. I don't care if she wants to be the Pope at Halloween. You're the parent. Unbelievable. And then people, well, I don't know why, what? And then guys, listen. I don't know how that girl got into my life. She was horrible for me. Where'd you find her? At a club? at a club. Let me tell you, guys, girls, this is for everybody, and it's free of charge. Okay, if you go to a famous trout river in Montana, I know 100% you're not going to catch a shark. There's no shark in the Snake River in Montana. Guaranteed. You're going to catch trout. And you know how you catch a trout? You use a trout lure or a fly. Huh? You don't go out there with a gaffing hook. No, you go to the ocean, all bets are off. You don't know. I hate the ocean fishing. I hate it. I won't do it. Why? Because, man, you know what? I could never gamble. I've never gambled. I won't gamble. I think it's insane. You don't know what's going to happen. And it's not my money to gamble with anyway. God's going to knock me out for doing that. You don't know what you're going to get. It's like going to the ocean. What are you throwing in? A hook. What are you going to get? I don't know. And the guy goes like this. You don't know if you're going to get a shark, a sandfish. You don't know if you're going to get a sunfish or a whale. And you pull it up, and ocean fishing, you pull it up. What is that? You know what? Listen, you fish at clubs for a mate, you're going to get a shark, barracuda, something. Not good. Listen, I know this sounds brutal, but I'm talking to the guys right now. You fish following the Lord Jesus. He knows the right streams. He knows the right tributaries and the right rivers. And you know what? And he knows. He's got one cute little fishy just prepared for you. And listen, where you fish, you will catch. So stop fishing in these worldly stupid places and wonder, how could God do this to me? God says, I had nothing to do with it. I was trying to stop you. You used the wrong bait. And look what you got. That's the father part coming out of me now. But I think it's important. Why marriage isn't for everyone is that we keep it before the throne. We take it to the throne. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though, listen, we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Paul is saying, we once did not believe in Jesus, and now we do. Therefore, things have changed. If anyone was in Christ that is hidden, tucked away, secure, he is now new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given you and I, us, the ministry of making up. That's what reconciliation is. Binding up, healing. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, but has committed to us the word of reconciliation, that's your Bible, in our hearts. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Imagine this morning, God is pleading through me to you about this issue. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Seek God first, church. For he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, become sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And if that doctrine is true in your life, it'll change your world. Finally, here we go, verses 23 to 24. Why marriage isn't for everyone, what's of the future goes before the judge. Before the cross, take it there. Before the throne is where you're living now. And regarding your future, church, it goes before the great judge of the universe. Whatever our stories are, Christian, know this. God knows the truth. It says in verse 23, you were bought at a price. What an awesome, we could spend weeks of sermons on those words right there. Jesus Christ loved you so much, he came and died on the cross for your sins. Literally, theologically accurate, biblically accurate, don't miss this. If you would have been the only child born to Adam and Eve, Jesus would have still come and died for you. I don't get it. I don't feel that. I don't comprehend that. But the Bible says it's true. If we were Pentecostals, we would have all said, thank you, Jesus, right then and there. Amazing. What about your future? All of us, the Bible says, will stand before God in the day of judgment in the end. So we need to conduct ourselves wisely. Number one, you were bought at a price. Secondly, number two, it's this, you guys, that you need to remain in the state in which God has called you. What does that mean? The Bible tells us that you and I have a choice about how our future is going to turn out. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to rededicate your life as a single person. Maybe your marriage is split up, I don't know. I'm going to ask you to dedicate yourself to Christ today. I'm going to ask you, you might have the greatest marriage in the universe. I'm going to ask you to keep your marriage dedicated to God. You've been bought at a price. How can God bleed? Is that beyond you? It's beyond me. But God bled at the cross. Church, is there anything that you're ashamed of? Anything you want to keep hidden? Anything that you wish you could take back? Anything you've ever done wrong? Guess what? As a Christian today, it's what's called under the blood. Amen. Under the blood. That's an awesome thought. The blood was put on top of the mercy seat. The angels were bowed down atop the Ark of the Covenant looking down at the blood. Whatever sins were placed upon symbolically that mercy seat. Notice it's the lid of the Ark of the Covenant was called the mercy seat. Mercy. Hello? Mercy. And the mercy, what we were crying out, oh God, have mercy. You know what the Lord says? The Lord says, I'll put my blood upon your request for mercy. How cool is that? According to the current U.S. dollar value as of last month in this year. When I read this, you were bought at a price, I looked up what the value, what is the going price of a human being in the world today. Did you know you can do that? Not morality, not spirituality. Human value, you, okay, watch this. You are 65% oxygen, 18% carbon, 10% hydrogen, 3% nitrogen, 1.5% calcium, 1% phosphorus, 0.35% potassium, 0.25 sulfur, 0.15 sodium, 0.15 chlorine, 0.05 magnesium, 0.0004% iron, 0.0004% iodine. That's you. Don't you look fantastic? The weight of that, those percentages, do you know what it comes to? You and I are valued at $4.50 as of last month. So all the atheists are saying, see, I told you I wasn't worth anything. You didn't get that. It's early. It went, okay, anyway. Well, we know that people are worth more than physical stuff. I just thought of this. I wrote down, just on that, what about 65% attitude? 18% looks. I don't know, switch it around. What about 10% intellect? What about 3% sex? You can keep going. You say, well, now that's more interesting. Oh, yeah? Well, how about 100% priceless to God? Amen. You are. So all of a sudden now, what I can do is, wait, if I'm that valuable to God and I'm a Christian, now I see why I should make my marriage work. Because that means my husband or my wife is that valuable to God. Who am I to devalue that human being? Are you with me?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where the Apostle Paul sheds some light on the Judeo-Christian worldview of marriage and how this guides us in making wise decisions regarding marriage, even when not everyone involved is a believer. The title of this study, God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on Tuesday's edition of Real Radio. Now, on Monday's Real Radio, Pastor Jack and I are going to sit down and discuss this series, God, Marriage, and Divorce. Now, quite frankly, the responses we're getting from Real Radio listeners are more than we expected. And certainly, the topic really has struck a nerve with a whole lot of folks. Now, we've got a candid conversation coming up about it all on Monday's edition of Real Radio. We hope you can tune in for that. All right, now this being Friday's Real Radio, that means we're about to hop into another Ask Pastor Jack, my favorite segment of the week. If you'd like to ask Pastor Jack a question, it's real easy. Just send him an email, askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. All right, Pastor Jack, you ready for this?
I hope so.
Ms. P says, I'm new in my relationship with God. My fiance and I have been together for 6 years, and he is not yet divorced from his first wife. Okay, so we've got a little situation here. We have a very complicated situation, says Ms. P, and even kids are involved. I feel really bad that I know that I'm living in sin, but I don't wish to separate from my partner. My question is this. Does God understand our situation, and does he still bless us? I love this next part. I'm so worried that God will come and I will be living this way. I'm really tormented because I want to be right with God. What do you have to say to Ms. P?
First of all, number one thing is you need to go to a really, really good Bible teaching church today.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to get into a Bible teaching church. Okay. First of all, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, to the believing people that God's arm is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear deaf that he cannot hear, but your sins have separated you from your God. So based on that scripture, for example, or 1 John chapter 1, for example, God's not going to bless disobedience, okay?
Right, right.
That's a fact. It's like a law of God's. He won't bless disobedience,
yeah.
But God is gracious and merciful. What we want to be careful about that is we don't want to play upon, oh, God is merciful and God is gracious, so I'm going to keep living in this life. No, no, no. God in his grace and mercy will lead you onto a good path, okay? That's what God wants to do in your life. You're going to need good instruction, godly instruction. You're going to need Bible studies and godly women to walk you through this. You can't turn a big ship quick. You've got years of what the Bible would say is an aberrant lifestyle. But God is merciful and gracious. He doesn't condone it, but he's going to change it. Your ship already is starting to change. In fact, listen, you beautifully articulated it a second ago. You said that you're afraid that that God's going to come back at a time like this and you're not ready.
Right.
That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you.
Right.
That's no man.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God is warning you, get this fixed. Just that is merciful and gracious.
Yeah.
He's given you time. But don't put him off, okay? Obey him. And God will begin to work this out. Now, based upon your own words here in your letter, this is a case of adultery that's going on, and it's going to need a lot of loving care from a very strong biblically based counselor and or church, okay?
Right.
But I'm assuming that your spouse or your live-in spouse, I'll call it, whatever we want to call that situation, does not know Jesus, but now you do. God is at work in your home. I don't want to disrupt that whatsoever. Yes, there's a lot wrong, and there's a lot that's offensive,
yeah. But
he's God, and like a restoration project, he goes to work. And so let him work, but listen, by all means, be very, very cooperative with God. Be very willing and be a little bit urgent about getting God's word happening in your life. And the Lord will begin to sort things out. But it is absolutely essential that in Psalm chapter 1, for example, you seek out godly counsel and be led in godly counsel, because you could make a decision that winds up ruining a lot of people, or you can make a decision that in time blesses a lot of people. There's no sin that we can commit that's greater than Christ's ability to forgive, but we must be repentful and we must hand God the reins. And in some situations like this, where there's a lot of extenuating circumstances, it's going to take some time. Now,
right.
Some people are not going to like my answer,
Yeah. Especially
a legalist.
Yeah.
They're going to want me to go in with guns blazing and condemn you to the pit. Why would I do that when God's clearly at work in your life?
Yeah.
This is very important that you get the right counsel.
Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. We'd love to hear your question. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.